So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And I want to go and move now, if we can, to speak to Tony Leah of Unifor, Oshawa, GM Local 222, and find out what happened to the recent president of the Canadian Labor Congress. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Phil.
Well, on the program, I believe it was last week, we talked about the CLC, and there, I go back to the expression, it, the CLC has a pulse. It seems to be thinking not only of sort of pedestrian, you might say basic union issues, which sometimes turn out to be kind of rhetoric, and is starting to talk about political questions affecting labor. And they took some very interesting stands and very good ones at the Canadian Labor Congress. The big moment was that they decided they were going to put to endorse the NDP, and the sitting president, Hassan Youssef, opposed it. And you reported on that. And we speculated as to why, and is there any sign of perhaps political compromise at the top of the CLC? What happened to that motion? What happened, and what has happened to Hassan Youssef?
Hassan tried to rule the motion out of order, which was rejected soundly, and the motion to endorse the NDP by the Canadian Labor Congress, with the proviso that workers and affiliates in Quebec would make their own independent political determination. That motion carried about 1,500 to 1,000, so very strongly. And people, of course, speculated, you know, what was Hassan Youssef's motives? Were they self-seeking? Were they political? Was he, you know, angling or begging for a Senate appointment from Justin Trudeau? Well, sure enough, 4 days later, he was appointed to the Senate by Justin Trudeau. People shouldn't forget, though, that that wasn't his only favor to the Liberals. He's been doing favors for the Liberals since the day he became president of the CLC. And he invited Trudeau to address bodies of unionists. He did that on his own hook. He maneuvered to have Trudeau speak to a group of young workers. We were having a young workers conference in Ottawa. Nobody else knew that Trudeau was going to show up, and he treated him like a star. And people may remember that the young workers were so upset that a group of them stood up and turned their backs on Trudeau.
Yes. By the way, we had one of them as a guest on the Taylor Report.
Yes, we had Corey Weir talking about Weir. That.
He confessed to this crime against Hassan Youssef.
And what was Hassan Youssef's reaction? He chastised the young workers for being disrespectful to Trudeau. But it went on and on. He didn't mobilize the Canadian labor movement to fight against the free trade deal with Europe, that unions in Europe were in the streets demonstrating against. He, on his own hook, with no consultation with anybody, issued an endorsement saying that the CLC endorsed Bill Morneau, the finance minister of Canada, to become the head of the OECD. A notorious capitalist outfit. He just went on and on like that. People will remember that when Hassan Youssef's union quit the CLC, Unifor withdrew from the CLC, which meant that Youssef shouldn't have been president anymore, because he was only there because he had a membership card in Unifor. And in fact, because Unifor spent $1 million busing people to the convention to make sure that he got elected. But you know what? He didn't even have the honor or the decency to resign. He went and got a union card from another union so that he could carry on and pretend to have legitimacy and continue to collect his big salary, $150,000 a year plus. So he did a lot of favors, and it's absolutely disgraceful. The labor movement in Canada should be outraged that their putative leader was so in bed with the Liberal Party of Canada that they created a sinecure for him in the undemocratic, unelected upper house of the Canadian Parliament.
I suppose his wages there will be pretty good.
They will. It's probably
the 30 pieces of silver. It's a lot more than 30 pieces.
It is. He's probably getting pretty close to pulling down the income of the previous labor, so-called labor leader who got appointed to the Senate, Ed Lawson. And I don't know if people know of Ed Lawson or remember him, but he was appointed to the Senate in the 1970s.
While Trudeau's he was dad.
Pierre Trudeau's dad, yes. It was Pierre Elliott Trudeau.
Family trick. It's pretty easy. It's just a half hour of him in the back room and you know how to do it.
And he carried out the same kind of favors, you know. His maiden speech in the Senate was to applaud Pierre Elliott Trudeau's courageous handling of the October crisis.
You're kidding. Oh, that was Lawson.
That was Ed Lawson, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait for the the speech from Hassan.
Yeah.
He's taking his drive to bring progressive thought into the red chamber, eh? I mean, he's not satisfied just to fight at the Canadian Labour Congress for progressive idea. He's going to go to the Senate, and he will be there permanently to argue for these wonderful things. Tony, there is a question. I think that Sid Ryan commented on all this, where I urge people to go to his Facebook, follow what he's saying, because he's certainly an insider and he got cuffed around by this gang himself. Not that he didn't cuff back, because Sid's a good fighter. But, you know, there should be a revisiting of how he was brought in as the darling of, so a lot of people thought he was going to be the, we're going to get rid of the old gang, which sounds like what we call bourgeois politics. Well, we got to throw the bombs out. We're going to bring in a real guy. But we did. What were they thinking? Do you remember how they sold this particular prize?
Yeah, you're right. The Hassan Youssef presented himself as a voice for change and renewal. People should have been suspicious because he'd been an officer of the CLC before, and he hadn't distinguished himself as for fighting for anything significant or progressive. But in the context of the election, you know, then he promised enough that that he got a small majority of the votes. Really, we shouldn't be expecting that electing an individual is going to make the difference, because it really does need a movement, and a broader movement in the labor.
But they did sell him. I mean, there were ideas that somehow he was going to be better on some of these, like we're talking about the Middle East and other things. He's going to bring a kind of an awareness. But it turns out that there are people in the Liberal Party who are full of awareness, who just put their arm around his shoulder and off he went. I wonder, too, this is a surprise question for you. I'm not aware of his actually being a... There's always the issue of, did these people ever lead anything? Now, Sid Ryan was actually a fighting leader who started off, as a low-level union official who got credentials as a fighter, strikes and contending with employers and all that. And he won a lot of respect, and therefore he became... I just wonder, was Hassan a president of a local? Did he lead struggles? I don't know that.
He came out of a small local. I don't know if he was, he must have had some position in it, but I don't remember what. But no, he never distinguished himself through any struggles or, you know, or major battles. He ingratiated himself to leaders of the Union and was taken on staff. His whole career in the Union was as a staff person.
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of a crucial. They have now definitely a fresh leadership, and they're taking a policy step. I've put a bit of a proviso on the new leadership. It's certainly fresh air, and I assume they were on side with the idea of supporting the NDP.
Yes.
To my mind, what we ought to be saying is, okay, it's good, because political power is the most crucial question for workers. Who's got it? What are they doing with it? And that means that the workers, the Canadian Labour Congress, needs to develop its own program of what it wants. And because in one respect, they're ahead of the NDP. I mean, the resolutions they passed on Palestine, it will make some NDPers absolutely faint. So I would urge them, please go and knock on the door and say, here we are. But more broadly is the NDP has to win the respect of labor. And the way you do that is labor says what it wants. And you pointed out that Quebec has laws against scabs. They've got laws saying you can't have a tiered wage system. So the labor movement needs to become vocal and say what it wants. Otherwise, it's just saying, oh, yeah, here's my automatic vote. Why do that?
No, you're right. And that's critical, that the labor movement develop a program of what the working class needs, what laws we need, what legislation and social services and rights workers need, and then fight to have that enshrined in law, and fight to have governments who will respect the labor movement and the working class. And that has to be done on a basis of, here's our demands, and, you know, let's talk about how we're going to achieve them, not on the basis of, you know, we're going to come out every 4 years and vote for you no matter whether you do anything good or not.
Yeah, it can't be a blank check, so we're going to have to follow that closely to see if that is what they decide to do. And it would be very helpful if the Canadian Labour Congress would talk about whether they believe in multilateral trade or whether they want to stay with this G7 lockdown, where Biden says what it's going to be, and he says who can be traded with and who can't. My memory is that under Hassan Youssef and prior presidents, but very definitely under Hassan Youssef, it was a go-along philosophy.
That's true. And it's been one of the great weaknesses of the labor movement, I would say, in both the United States and Canada since the Cold War, that they have tended to take their lead from the foreign policy of whoever is in government in the United States or
Let
Canada.
Let me ask you, stop you right there and ask you, but isn't it so that the Canadian Labour Congress, of course the AFL-CIO for sure, but the Canadian Labour Congress, actually, it's sort of like in a consulting relationship with the foreign affairs departments, and take their lead.
Take their lead and take their money, which is why they take their lead, or part of it anyway. And the international department of the CLC, at times at least, the staff of it has been funded by the Canadian government through Canadian International Development Agency. So if you're taking money and if the people who are operating your international department are taking their lead from the government, then that's where the policies are going to come from. And that undermines the working class movement. It undermines the labor movement, because then they get enmeshed with governments that are acting on behalf of corporations. And so then everything gets, you get tied up in that octopus.
Yeah. Speaking to Tony Leah, he is political affairs chairman of the local 222 General Motors Oshawa. Tony, is it so that, I mean, that you yourself have some questions about the commitment to the union democracy that there's some shadow across it based on the treatment of yourself by your local leadership?
Yeah, absolutely true. It's on a small level compared to some of these other things, but I think the same principles are involved. If we have union people in leadership of unions who are there to enrich themselves, who believe in cooperation with corporations, then they tend to not be very democratic in how they operate. They tend to be autocratic and act like little dictators. That's exactly what happened to me.
Give us an example of
So the most recent example in my local, the people in holding down the full-time highly or well-paid positions and who want to defend those privileges try to monopolize elections and make sure all their friends get elected. So I went to the union hall to act as a scrutineer for a candidate who is, you know, opposed to that kind of cushy arrangement. And they didn't want me to be a scrutineer. So the financial secretary, who's got nothing to do with running elections, shouldn't have had anything to say, ordered me out of the union hall. And when I didn't leave, because I explained why I had a right to be there, he, you know, just about lost his mind. He took complaints to the, his pals running the union, and they held a meeting where they basically put me on trial, except there wasn't a trial because I didn't even know that this was being done. And obviously I didn't have an opportunity to even present my side of the case. But apparently they were very upset that I didn't do as I was told. So they sent me a letter saying I was not allowed to be in the union hall or any of the property adjacent to it unless I had an official appointment with them or unless I was going there to vote. So that means I can't go to meetings. I can't, you know, there's a retired workers center in the union hall. I'm a retired member, dues-paying member. I've been a member in good standing for 40 years in that local, but no, I can't. Once the retiree center is opened up, they're saying I'm not allowed to even go there. It's outrageous.
By the way, I know you're a great fighter. So, but how does one resist? I mean, this is just arbitrary. You didn't face your accuser. There's no claim that you bodily bothered anybody, that you chased them in and out of their office, which I have seen such things, but none of that happened, right?
I've seen a few too. No, in fact, the member of the election committee, who is the person that has responsibility for elections, after a discussion with me, said, yes, I could be there as a scrutineer, and invited me into the union hall to be the scrutineer at that point. I'm not that kind of brawler, and I know I didn't, I stood up for my rights.
I'm not a witness. I didn't see, but I would be a character witness. I've never been insulting.
My offense was standing up for my rights. And, as they said, I didn't do as I was told. Well, I guess that is something that I'm not very good at. Management used to say that to me all the time when I was a union rep. And I hope these guys, if they're defending workers in their workplaces, wouldn't do what they did to me, which is to allow management to lay charges against somebody and discipline them without giving that person the right to defend themselves. I mean, that is a violation of the most fundamental principles of justice and democracy.
Well, you are a member of Unifor, and Unifor has announced its right to raid other unions and to recruit and get everybody in. And so I guess we should put you on the poster as one of the things, example of kind of the great things that can happen. You become a member. We've been speaking to Tony. We need to keep following it because it is, you know, if you don't see union work at this level, you won't ever understand any of it. We have to thank Tony Leah for being our guest, and we will ask him to please come back and update us on Hassan and CLC, etc. Thanks very much, Tony.
Thank you.